flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, time permitting, text line is 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host. Joining us now, he is the host of Priority Talk Radio on Truth 101.1 WXJC. And also, he is the president and the CEO of the Alabama Citizens Action Program, ALCAP. But Greg Davis joins us on the line. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing great.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate it, you coming on. Well, I mean, Greg, and you and I are in this space and, you know, just kind of locked in on the news and what's going on and these questions about morality, about faith. My observation in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, that this woke a lot of people up, a lot more than I, you know, more people are more engaged, more aware and interested in this than I had anticipated.
Well, me too. And, you know, my son, who's just turned 25, asked me the other night, he said, is this bigger than 9/11? And I said, no, I don't think it's bigger than 9/11, because there were 3,000 stories on 9/11 of people that lost their lives. But besides 9/11, I can't remember anything that's had, a deep resonation with the American people, and in particular, people of faith, the Christian faith, and conservatives. It struck a nerve. There's no doubt about it. And it should have, quite honestly.
It did. And you know, people that, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and they're always kind of, you know, trying to, you know, talk about the politics of the day, or, you know, it comes from a place of interest, but maybe a casual interest. On this, it's much different, Greg. It's the intensity is way more than I had expected. And, what happens from this? What do you anticipate?
Well, this has transcended politics. You know, he was more than a political figure. I had said on my show a few weeks ago, I had some pastors, we have a pastor's roundtable on our show here in the Birmingham and Huntsville markets. And, we were talking about, you know, who's the most effective evangelist in America. And I said this is probably over a month ago. I said, I think it's Charlie Kirk, because he's out sharing the gospel, in places where it's not welcome. More than anyone. Now he would speak in churches and things like that. Had his own venues, of course, with like-minded people. But he was going to the masses, and then with the online reach. And I thought he was the most effective evangelist in America. But he sort of reminded me of a young Josh McDowell. For some of your audience who remember Josh, and he went around in the '60s and the '70s with Campus Crusade for Christ, and he debated on college campuses. You know, his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, of course, is sort of just one of the most influential books of the 20th century. And so Charlie, to me, was an evangelist, he was an apologist, and he was an activist as well. And so I think it resonated deeply because of that. And we just saw numbers I'm a minister, you know, so I look at this kind of stuff. Jeff, you know that. We just saw numbers from George Barna, who for the last 30 years has probably been the most prolific pollster when it comes to church and culture. And he just polled across America and tried to find the number of adults who have a biblical worldview. Now, just basic biblical Christian doctrine, okay? Nothing tricky there. And he polled all across the country. And then he broke it down state by state. And I'll just give you parenthetically, the number one state where adults have a biblical worldview is Alabama. That's what he found. Now, that's good news, but it was only 12.8% of Alabamians. Mississippi was second with 12.6%, and no other state was even in double figures. And he found the national average to be just a little above 4% nationally with a biblical worldview. So what I hope happens is that his videos and his debates, the political issues will kind of come and go, but the truth of of the biblical nature and the apologetics and the evangelism that he shared, those things will not change. And I hope that his videos will live on and it will influence people to return to a biblical Judeo-Christian worldview in our country. That's what we need. And so I hope that's what happens. And I hope our churches and our pastors and ministers and parents, I hope we're all ready to take advantage and to seize this moment to have a generation to literally have a turning point in America.
Yeah, like I said, it's an awakening in a way I never would have imagined at all. And, you know, more people getting engaged, more people asking about it. And, you know, you asked the same people 2 weeks ago, well, you know who Charlie Kirk was. And a lot fewer would have said yes. And now this has happened. But, you know, the vacuum left behind, how do you feel about that? I mean, do you think there's going to be something there to fill that void?
Well, I hope so. You know, Charlie certainly was a popular figure, no doubt about it, with a huge following. I was in discussions with his people currently to have him on our show coming up sometime this fall with his new book that he had coming out. So he was a very popular figure, but to your point, Jeff, he has now become a historical figure. And, you know, he will go down in history, because of the way that he died and to be a martyr. And so, you know, he knew the cost. There's no doubt about it. You know, but we're accustomed to seeing, people martyred for their faith. And that's literally what happened for him. You can call it politics, but these were biblical issues that he was arguing for. And that's what made this young man, you know, hate him so much that he would take a rifle and shoot him in the neck. But we're used to seeing that happen on foreign land. You know, we send missionaries to other lands and they risk their lives to go there to share the gospel with people who need to know it. And to see it happen here on our own soil, someone martyred for their faith in cold blood by someone who hated them because of their Christian conservative biblical worldview, on issues, is just amazing. And look, there's a lot of people out there that are smart enough, to pick up different pieces of, I think, the mantle of Charlie. He was absolutely brilliant, you know, genius. I mean, his knowledge, was deep on any issue. And I'm looking forward to reading the books or seeing documentaries on how it was that he studied and learned and, you know, applied himself to know so much about so many topics with no notes or anything like that. I'm anxious to learn about his disciplines of how he accomplished those things. It wasn't just intelligence alone. It was also discipline that allowed him to become. And so I hope a lot of people will pick up that mantle. One person doesn't replace one person. None of us are alike. None of us are wired the same or made the same. God didn't create us that way. He created us differently. And so I think it's unrealistic to expect that someone can kind of carry this on. It may spawn multiple different movements and multiple different people that carry this forward. And we may be hearing 20 years from now of some great person of God, some great conservative leader, some future president with a biblical worldview that will say, you know, when Charlie Kirk died, that's what turned me on. And it may take a long time for some of these people to emerge because of just the time that it takes, you know, according to their age and those kind of things. So we just need to be praying. You know, Jesus said, you know, pray for the harvest. The laborers are few. And so we need to be praying for more laborers like Charlie Kirk.
Joined by Greg Davis here on the program. Greg, do you worry about more of this? I mean, that this wasn't a one-off, that it will inspire more of this kind of violence?
I do. I'm not fearful, you know, but I do, because the same way that Satan took this young man, this 22-year-old man, and turned him into someone that he was not raised to be, was not part of what we would say is his growing up. You know, he wasn't raised that way. It doesn't appear. No parents are perfect. I'm sure his parents are going to look back and see mistakes, and all of us would do that, most certainly. But from all I see, it looks as though this wasn't the way he was raised. You know, he fell into some traps and some faulty worldviews and fell in with some radical godless people that turned his mind, that poisoned his mind. And so, there's no telling how many people are out there like that. And look, and people like me and you, we've been shouting this for years. You can't let your kids get unfiltered on these online forums. I know he was 22, but he's been doing this a long time. You can't play violent video games where you're shooting people. Fantasy, but you're just training people to do that. Not everyone who, not everyone who does that is going to get radicalized, quote unquote, but some will. And so I think when you just put together a combination of factors between what he's just typical. He was raised probably in front of a screen with a pair of headphones. Let's not discount the effect that COVID may have had on him. He was probably a junior, senior in high school when COVID hit. He may have been very isolated in his room. Obviously, he had a family and a big home. Seems like very nice, but if he was isolated in his room, going deep down into these chat rooms and video games and connecting with people with that were out there to turn his mind and heart in a wicked way, then look, he could just be typical of many that are out there of his age and of his generation.
Yeah, you get desensitized with some of this online stuff, and
exactly.
And you're not. It's no longer reality. It's just weird alternate universe you exist in.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm good friends with the family of Rachel Scott, who was killed. You remember in April 1999 at Columbine High School. She was the first person killed there. The gunman put a gun to her head and said, Rachel, do you still believe in your God? And she said, I do. And he said, go be with him, and pulled the trigger. Now, that was an eyewitness that saw that. And Rachel's mother has told me many times that she felt like, now this was 26 years ago, that she felt like that the shooter there at some point went from fantasy to reality and didn't know the difference. There was a blurred line there, and they didn't know the difference, and they were more or less playing a game as they walked the halls of Columbine High School, shooting students just indiscriminately and discriminately, because they were seeking out certain people there as well. But we blur the lines and we desensitize, and as long as we continue to allow this to happen, as long as we as parents and church leaders and community leaders and government leaders, as long as we continue to allow this stuff to happen. Certain amounts of people, Satan's going to get them, and he's going to turn them in a hard way, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Greg, jumping ahead, the legislative session starts in January this year, and I don't think it'll be necessarily a remarkable one. There may be some things that lawmakers try to push to help the reelection bids, especially in Republican primaries. I'm worried about that 27 cycle, and I don't think gambling has – I think gambling is not going to come back next year, but I think it's going to come back later. And I say this, the way they did the gas tax in 19, and they didn't talk about it at all during the 18 election cycle at all, and then it gets sprung on us after the election wraps up in November – they begin the full court press to raise the gas tax. Very unpopular, seemingly unpopular. Turned out to be people went along with it. But that seems to me to be the blueprint potentially for a gambling constitutional amendment, that it could come in 27. And I think it's important that we as voters and the public are kind of have that on the radar going into this election cycle.
Well, there's no doubt. And, I don't look forward in 26 at all. In fact, I've been assured that that's not going to happen in 26. And you've reported that as well here recently. But with a vengeance in 27, I think is what we hear. And so, it's always going to come back. And even if it's passed and it's implemented, gambling in our state, it will still always come back, because the gamblers will always want more. Always are going to want more. You can go to the states that have the most gambling, go to Illinois, New Jersey, Nebraska, California, and they're always pressing for more and more and more locations, ways, means, taxes, reductions. So the gambling issue will never go away. It just never will. So, I look forward in 27. This election is huge. in these Republican primaries. You know, people need to look and see who voted this last go around for gambling and who voted against it. And you need to make up your mind. You know, it's going to be decided in the primaries. You know, the state is gerrymandered to a point where very few of the races, maybe one or two, you know, a couple of Senate and House races may be competitive between Republicans and Democrats, but not many. This is pretty much a race of Republicans. And I would say particularly in the Senate, because that's where it's so close, you know, one vote. And so, you know, there's three or four Senate races, I believe, that will decide the fate of gambling in 2027.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really do. I think that that's where this is going. But what I don't want to see, what I worry about seeing is we spend the entirety of the 26th cycle not talking about it, and then this has sprung on us. So it's just important to have that on the radar. And no one was, I mean, no one's very few were talking about a gas tax in 18.
No, you're right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And part of the issue is where does future Governor Tuberville stand on this? Because the gas tax was greatly leveraged by Governor Ivey. And so, you know, where does the new governor of January 2027 stand? Is he gonna leverage this with everything that he's got? His, you know, his first couple of months in office? I don't know if that question is going to be clearly answered or not, because there's no competition in the Republican primary.
Yeah, I agree with that. Hey, Greg, folks want to find your show, want to find out more about OutKap, how can they do so?
Yeah, well, the show is PriorityTalkRadio.com. We're on in the afternoons in the Birmingham and Huntsville markets, but you can listen online, PriorityTalkRadio.com, and then also OutKap.com, ALCAP.com.
Greg, we appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
All right. Well, let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Old and still, but they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.